Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Welcome back everyone to a brand new installment. Well, sort of. We're still off this week, but the team and I didn't want to leave you in the lurch. So we slapped together another best of episode. A topic I think many of you are going to love. Time slips. So set your watches, mark your calendars, and get ready to make tomorrow feel like yesterday. And to kick us off, we begin with a series of submissions involving vehicles. Please welcome from Season 15, Episode 22, Cheyenne from Oklahoma.
Hi, my name is Cheyenne. I'm from Oklahoma. I have been super enjoying the podcast, and I just got done listening to Season 2, I think it was episode 14, I believe, Tales from the Road. Thought I might call in and share a couple of things that happened to me. So, first of all, I used to live in a town called Bartlesville, and I used to drive about 45 miles every weekend to see my parents and let them visit with me and my son. And one night I was driving, and so I've driven this road hundreds of times. I would go down to my parents religiously every weekend for about 4 or 5 years before I moved closer. And I'm halfway away, like from my house in between theirs, about 20 miles in between, there's like flashing lights on either side of the road and kind of reminds you what the speed limit is in that area. And there's a little gas station on one of the sides of the road. So I'm driving to go see my parents, and it's really late and it's super dark outside. I have my son in the back seat, and like we get just maybe a mile or two past that halfway point, and all of a sudden a car just appears in the middle of the road, and I literally had to slam on my brakes and try to get into the next lane so that way I wouldn't hit this car. Literally nobody was on the road at this time. I want to say it was around 10:30 at night. Definitely a clear night. There was no weather or anything like that. Like, I wasn't obstructed by anything. And there was no cars, like, in front of me or behind me for miles. I hadn't seen anyone on this road. And this car just shows up in the middle of the road in my lane, because I'm in the left-hand lane. And so I have to like slam my brakes and swerve over to the right lane to go around them. And as I'm passing, when I look over, it's like just this old man, and he's just stopped in the middle of the road. So when I get to my parents, I obviously call the police department. And after telling my parents what happened, it totally shook me up. I don't know where this guy came from or what happened at all, why he just appeared in the middle of the road. That was just weird for me. But like years later, I want to say maybe 5-6 years later, I was actually going back down that road the opposite direction. And my parents at that time had moved to Skytook, and I had moved to Owosso, which is maybe 15 minutes away. And I left one night late to go get my son from my parents' house. And about a mile from the exit, like, things just started to look strange. Like, I knew my exit was coming up. There was a song playing on the radio, which is about 4.5 minutes long. And it was only in, like, the first minute and a half of the song. and I'm jamming out, singing along. And again, another clear night, like nothing strange is going on, no weather, you know, anything like that. And I'm driving and like things just start to look strange. And like there's a lot of trees and I'm like start to wonder like, where am I at? And this was, again, really late. And all I see is trees on both sides of the highway for like miles, like just trees. And then off in the distance, I see the lights of what looks like a town. And I'm like, that looks like Bartlesville. Like, I don't know how I got that far, literally within minutes. So I keep driving because the whole road looks weird and I don't recognize anything. And sure enough, I pull into the town of Bartlesville. I used to work at the gas station that was right inside town on the left-hand side of the road. And I turned around there to go back the opposite direction. But it struck me as odd because I never passed the halfway point with the flashing lights. However, on my way back, I had missed my turn by like 15, 20 miles to go to my parents when I was only a mile away. I saw the flashing lights with the speed limit on it and all of that in the gas station halfway there, but I never saw it on the way to that town, which was very odd. All I remember is there was nothing but trees and the highway was super dark. All of a sudden it was like no lights, no nothing, and there were zero cars. I never passed a car going or coming back, which was strange. And another thing that really freaked me out about it was the fact that the same song was playing, the same 4.5 minute song that I was listening to. It was still playing. And of course, I was singing along with it initially. And it was only about into the second verse of the song when I started to notice that like things didn't look right. And that literally the next exit should have been the exit to my parents' house. And it was nothing but trees for like ever. And the song was still playing. And on my way back after I had turned around in the town I used to live in, the song was still playing. And I checked my radio because I thought that that was kind of strange. It was connected to my iPhone. So I just push a button, it'll go to the next song. So I pushed the button because if it's on repeat, then it will just start at the beginning of the song. And it didn't, it went to the next song. So I didn't have my playlist on repeat or anything like that. It was literally just in the song. So somehow I had driven 15 to 20 miles out of my way, past my turn to my parents, and ended up in the town I used to live in, which was super weird to me. And I have no idea how that happened. But yeah, so that's my Tales from the Road type of story. Thank you for having this podcast because I so enjoy it and it has become my favorite podcast. Thanks again.
Thank you, Cheyenne, for sharing the story. Now, folks, I got to take a quick break, but I'll be right back with the rest of those calls involving vehicles. Don't touch that dial.
Escuche el programa Semillas de Esperanza.
Do you ever feel intimidated by dispensaries? If it's your first time or if you're not a regular shopper, it can be a bit overwhelming, figuring out the right strain for how you want to feel. If you'd rather skip the guessing game, check out Mood.com. They deliver federally legal THC discreetly to your doorstep, and you can shop for products based on the specific mood you're going for. Mood found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, beverages, and flour for whatever type of buzz you want. If you want to feel more social at a party, there's a product for that. If you need to focus and get work done, there's a product for that as well. And if you just want to melt into your couch and watch movies, well, you guessed it, there's a product for that too. And by the way, you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code MAU. Forget about one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. And if you're like me, you'll go straight for the Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies for a mind-soothing calm that helps you chill out and fall asleep more easily. It's one of their best sellers for a reason. Best of all, every Mood product is backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. And as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code MAU. So head to mood.com to find the functional gummy that matches exactly what mood you're going for. Don't forget to use promo code MAU when you check out to save 20% off your first order. Try it today at mood.com. There's also a link in the show notes.
Until now. Before the 115 to 110 win.
Know up next from season 18, episode 12, in the state of Massachusetts. Please welcome Aaron back to the program.
Hey, Derek, this is Aaron Stewart. I live in Norton, Massachusetts currently, but this story takes place in 2008 in Kennesaw, Georgia. A buddy of mine had a birthday, so me and another friend were driving to his place to have a pool party, and we knew the way. We'd been there 100 times, and as we're going on our way, we pass under a brick bridge. Probably noon, sunny, so we could see everything. I don't really remember the brick bridge ever being there before, but I figured I just wasn't paying attention before. So we're on our way, and we notice a couple weird things that, you know, because we're just driving along, and before it, I'd always ridden by myself. So my buddy, he's like, isn't that kind of weird that there's a Jehovah's Witness temple and a Mormon church right next to each other on this road? I was like, that is really odd. And then we noticed that there was a house that was completely burned to the ground. I mean, it was demolished, and it was, you know, a noticeable sight. So we're driving along, and it's been probably 5-10 minutes, which is way too long for the road we're on, because at this point we know from where his house was to my other friend's house was at most 8 minutes with traffic. So we turn around, and on our way back, the house that was burned down was still standing. That was the first thing that was like, whoa, that's odd. Jehovah's Witness temple and the Mormon church were still there, so that was normal. That was something we'd seen. But we noticed on the way backtracking, there wasn't a brick overpass like an old train bridge. So we have no clue what that was. But we were both there. We both saw it. We've told everyone about it. No one knows where that brick bridge is. But a few weeks later, going back to that friend's house, I decided to go down that road again. Again, no brick bridge. But the house that had burned down was burned down this time. So it's almost like we had jumped through and then jumped back on that road. It's never happened again. My buddy still remembers it to this day anytime I bring it up. So we're really not sure what happened that day. But it was really weird. Been listening to the show for a while. Thought I'd share this story with you.
No, a big thanks to Aaron for calling in. And you know, also from that same episode, we have another call from Hannah in Maine. So let's go ahead and cue that one up.
Hi, Derek. My name's Hannah. I live in South Portland, Maine. I think I had something you would consider a time glitch. I am not exactly sure how to categorize it, but I was hoping maybe you could help me figure it out. So I'm a vet assistant with a mobile clinic, and we usually drive to about 3 different locations a day in a work van. And it was a day when it was just me and one other coworker, and we have one route that is way far, far up in northern Maine. The first location being Holton and the second being Millinocket. Holton is pretty close to Canada. It's about as far north in Maine as you can get. It was beginning of September of this year. It was around 4:30 p.m.-ish, and it was clear outside. It was chilly, you know. My coworker and I were coming home from Millinocket, and we were around the Waterville, Maine area. So she asked me if I could pull off to get her some kind of caffeine at a Dunkin' Donuts. She wanted to caffeinate because she had an exam later in the day. It should be worth mentioning probably that we use an iPad as a GPS. They give us a specific one with our company. So the iPad GPS, you know, had our route getting back to our home office. So I took exit 127 into Waterville, Maine Dunkin' Donuts. While in the drive-thru, she texted her girlfriend. I responded to a few texts from my partner. We both were, you know, cognizant that we had sent them. So then the GPS had us rerouted to get back on I-95 South, which is the direction of our office. And the GPS said there was 1 hour and 22 minutes left till we got home. So we get back off onto I-95 South, and we're both aware of the signs, you know, that are always on the side of the road that say, you know, the interstate you're on, which was I-95 South. And we were just kind of chatting casually, not about anything in particular. Of course, the GPS time was going down. And when it was at 58 minutes until our arrival time, I felt almost like this chill or like a wave, I guess. And it felt like I was looking through sunglasses suddenly, like everything was darker and grayer. And it was almost like a jolt as well. And I didn't say anything, but right as I felt that, my coworker went, you know, what the hell, out loud. And we both looked up, and the sign said I-95 North suddenly, and we had been going on I-95 South. And the GPS had jumped back up to 1 hour and 22 minutes. And we were two exits before exit 127 on I-95 North. So even if I had gotten off, you know, at the opposite exit and we had been driving on I-95 North that entire time, we would have been a half an hour back in the opposite direction, not right before exit 127. And the GPS had, you know, jumped back up in time to about exactly actually half an hour to our trip. We both checked our phones to see the text messages that we had sent our partners. Both were gone. So at this point, we pull over at exit 127, where we had been half an hour ago, to kind of rehash the fact, you know, she wrote everything down. We kind of had we were both here for that, right, moment. You know, we both acknowledged that, yes, we had seen the signs going I-95 South and the GPS was going down in time. And then suddenly we were back to our original spot half an hour earlier. And the weirdest part, I think, is that when we got home and checked with each of our partners, they hadn't received the text that we had both sent during that time either. So, yeah, we've since kind of talked about it, and she seems more and more skeptical as time goes on. And she's a lot more of a realist than I am. I, you know, grew up in a house that was built in 1802, and that, you know, there were a lot of kind of more ghost related paranormal activities. And I've never had anything like that, though, and certainly not with anyone else present. So we were both pretty freaked out. We lost half an hour of time. And I guess I wanted to know if you knew of any other stories of people being cosmically rerouted or anything like that. I guess that's it. Thank you for your podcast. I have found so many of the stories so relatable, and your voice is very soothing to me, and I really, really enjoy what you're doing. Thank you. I think it's helped a lot of people.
Thank you, Hannah. Now, rounding things out here with our time slips and cars is Nicole from Season 18, Episode 9, in the state of Colorado.
Hi, Derek and team. My name is Nicole, and I'm calling from Denver, Colorado. So I have a story from my grandmother. She passed away when I was just 6 years old. So I was too little for her to tell me the story directly, but I grew up with my mom telling me the story many, many times. So basically, back in the 70s, my grandparents lived in Norwalk, California. And one night, they decided they needed to go run an errand. They needed to go to the grocery store. So my grandmother, my grandfather, and my cousin, who was just a little girl at the time, got in the car, went to the grocery store. On their way home, they stopped at, now, I believe it was a railroad crossing, but it could be a red light. That's the only detail. I don't remember for sure. Unfortunately, my mother passed away in 2017, so I'm not able to ask her. So they were stopped either at this railroad crossing or a light, and they noticed, my grandparents noticed, that cars parked on either side of them were all older model cars, like probably from the 40s and 50s, and that everybody occupying these cars, men, women, and children, they all looked dead. They were all slumped over. Their skin had like a pale or greenish pallor to it. No one was moving. They were all dressed in clothes, which would line up with the 40s and 50s era. And again, nobody was moving. Everybody was just like slumped over in these cars, appearing to be dead. And there were several cars again. Needless to say, this really freaked out my grandparents. They got out of there as soon as they could and went straight home. Now, my mother had stayed home. She had not gone with them to the grocery store. But she recalls clearly, even though she was just a kid, that when my grandparents got home, she remembers they were both shaken and visibly upset and frightened. She had never seen her parents frightened like that before. So it was quite upsetting to her, and she knew something serious had to have happened. My grandmother called the police and reported what had occurred. And later on, she was contacted by the police department and told that an officer or officers had gone out to investigate, but they did not find anything. No old-fashioned cars, no appearing to be dead people in the cars. At that spot, nothing. So over the years, you know, my family and I, we've always questioned, could this have been an elaborate prank? But, I mean, it's not quite logical. I mean, who would do such an elaborate prank? What would be the purpose? How would you get kids involved to the point where they would sit there still and pretend to be dead? I do believe that there are things out there that we don't understand, but I am somewhat of a skeptic. So if there's a logical explanation, I'm happy to find one. But my grandparents were convinced that those are real corpses in the cars and that it was something unnatural. So yeah, that's one of my interesting family stories that's been passed down through the ages. I just want to say, Derek, I love your show so much. Thank you for all your hard work. I am a Patreon supporter, and I've been listening to you for a couple years now, and you are absolutely my favorite podcast. Thank you so much. Take care.
No thanks to Nicole for sharing that one. That one still lives rent-free in my head. And another one that I can't quite shake is Katie's entry, out of England. You may recognize it from season 18, episode 38.
Hi Derek, it's Katie from Cambridge in England. I'm just getting all my stories together to tell you. And this is something that happened to my parents in the early 70s. So I think they'd either just got married or it was a few years after. So it was at least 1970, 71 or 72. And the two of them went down to a place called Woolacombe in Devon. And it's a lovely coastal village. I've been there a few times on holidays as a kid. And around the corner, up a hill, the next village along from Woolacombe is called Morthoe. Now, my parents didn't have any money. They got the train down to their honeymoon or their holiday, whatever it was. And they had to walk everywhere. So Mum tells me about how steep this hill was to get up to the next village of Morthoe, because, you know, they had to walk everywhere and it was a struggle to get up. So they tell me that they went to a pub for lunch, and I've actually been to this pub. I think it's called the Chichester Arms, if I recall. I actually took a Polaroid of it when I was about 11 because they told me the story growing up and I was obsessed by it. I thought it was brilliant. And they went in the pub for lunch. They swear blind that they had a lemonade or a tomato juice. They were not drinking. And because they were near Cornwall, Mum got a Cornish pasty, Dad has fish and chips. It was something like that. They had different things to eat and they didn't have any alcohol. So this makes it harder to explain why they both hallucinated or, you know, shared the same delusion, or whether they actually had a time slip. They came out of the pub after their lunch and it was many, many, many meters above sea level. Like I said, it was a pretty steep hill, struggled to get the car up, struggled to walk up it. And when they came out, the sea had risen and it was almost flooding the pub and the local businesses. They described the sea as lapping at doorways, doorsteps. People were in their shops, you know, their bakeries and their sort of souvenir shops, just going about their business, not seeming to care that there's water coming in. People were walking up the hill, coming out of the water. I did ask my parents, what were they wearing? Were they, you know, in Victorian bathing gear? And they just said they don't remember. They didn't pay any attention to what the people were doing or what they were wearing because, you know, their minds were so boggled by the fact that there was water everywhere and the place had flooded by tens or hundreds of meters because they were so high up from the sea. They just said they couldn't believe that nobody seemed to care that there was water everywhere. No one seemed to mind that they were getting wet or that their houses or businesses were about to flood. They just thought, whoa, this is crazy. You know, it must be high tide. This must happen every day. They're so used to it. So they, you know, went about their business, went back to wherever they were staying and went home. I think it was a year or 2 years later, they'd been telling their brothers about this. You know, you'll never guess what, there's a place in Devon, it's so weird, you know, it floods every day. And it got to the point where literally they said, let's go back next year with you two. So my mum's brother and my dad's brother came along, and they really were curious about this crazy place where the, you know, the town floods every single day and nobody cares. So they went to the place, they had lunch in the pub, they came out about the same time of day, and everything was normal. It was dry, the sea was where it should be, which is not even in view of the pub, it's so far down the cliff. And they thought, oh, that's strange, you know, maybe it was just something that only happened last year or only happened on certain dates. Anyway, the two brothers were kind of, you know, ribbing them for it, saying, oh, right, you know, drag us 8 hours on a train down to this place and nothing happens. And it got so bad that they ended up going to like the local church and speaking to the vicar there, the priest, and saying, we're not going mad, are we? This place does flood every day, or, you know, it's flooded in the past. And this guy, this vicar, ended up saying, no, of course not. It's not flooded for a couple of hundreds of years. You know, it's so, so high up above sea level that there has not been a flood since, you know, 100 or 200 years ago. And back when it did flood, it was catastrophic because there's so many shops, houses, other buildings, farms on the way up to this pub from where the sea level is that, you know, so many people were affected by it. It was a massive, massive catastrophe. There you go. Time slip? I don't know. My parents would always say, you know, that, remember when we went back in time, or let me tell you about the time we went back in time. This is one of those stories that my dad loves. My dad is obsessed with, and he loves telling it. My mum, not so much. If you catch her on the wrong day, she doesn't want to speak about it. She doesn't understand it, doesn't like it, doesn't want to talk about it. But it's just funny to me that they were so sure this happened that they literally went back on another holiday the next year with witnesses, you know, under the proviso that, guys, come and see this, you won't believe it. It's an expensive way to fool a couple of guys, if that's your game. You know, they didn't have much money, like I said, and it's a long way from London to go all the way down to Devon at the bottom of the UK. So make of that what you will. But that's their story. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe can offer some explanation, because they are baffled and they have been for 50 years. But there you go. Love the show. Look forward to hearing more. Cheers.
Thank you again, Katie, for calling in.
Try to your new project. Call 800.
Now, folks, this next entry was a hometown legend submission and another from the British Isles. Please welcome Beth, all the way from England.
Hey Derek, my name is Beth and I live in a city called Liverpool in the United Kingdom, just across the pond from you guys. Liverpool is well known for multiple reasons, but most famously known for Liverpool Football Club and the band The Beatles are also from Liverpool. I'm calling today with a hometown legend story about a street in Liverpool called Bold Street. Bold Street is a vibrant and well-known street in Liverpool city centre, and is well known for independent shops, restaurants and bars. At the top of the street is a church called St Luke's Church. Liverpool was heavily bombed during the Blitz in World War II, and St Luke's Church was badly damaged, but it still stands to this day. Locally, the church is known as the Bombed Out Church, and is still used today for weddings and events, albeit not having any roof. Liverpool's tragic wartime past makes the Bold Street area a hive for interesting paranormal stories and phenomena. Most noted is a phenomena called the Bold Street time slip. Many people have claimed to experience strange and unexplained shifts in time whilst walking along Bold Street. According to some accounts, individuals briefly find themselves in what seems to be another era, where the buildings, surroundings, and even the people appear to come from the past. Over the years, descriptions of the so-called Bold Street time slip can differ. Some say that they were taken back to the Victorian period, whilst others report scenes resembling the 1950s or the 1960s. Witnesses often mention seeing vintage cars, old-fashioned clothing, and retro shop fronts. One of the most well-known stories dates back to the 1990s when a woman reportedly had a bizarre encounter whilst walking down the street. As she made her way along, she suddenly felt an unusual sensation and realised that her surroundings had completely transformed. The modern street had seemingly disappeared, replaced by traditional shops, horse-drawn carriages and people dressed in Victorian clothing. Shocked, she believed that she had somehow slipped back in time. She later claimed that she even interacted with people during this experience, speaking to shopkeepers and passers-by who appeared unconcerned by her modern appearance. After a short while, just as suddenly as it began, everything returned to normal and she found herself back in the present, standing in the same spot on Bold Street. Following her story, tales of similar experiences spread, giving Bold Street a lasting reputation for its mysterious and unexplained time slip phenomenon. Now, I have lived in Liverpool for 32 years now, and I walk down Bold Street regularly, and I have never experienced any paranormal phenomenon or any time slips. However, if I do, I will definitely get in contact and let you guys know. Thank you so much for all the work that you put into the podcast. Thank you guys. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Beth, for that phone call. If you're looking for the original airing of that one, check out Season 20, Episode 49. Now, folks, we have another story from a Hannah this evening. A different Hannah. This time from the state of Missouri, in Season 17, Episode 14.
Hi, Derek. This is Hannah. I am calling you from Kansas City, but this happened in Brooklyn. I would say this was probably last February or March. It was definitely wintertime. I was going to see a show at my favorite venue there called TVI. I was with a friend. The show was great. It was super fun. It lets out, and I'm pretty sweaty from dancing around, so I'm kind of making a beeline out of the venue section of the place into, like, they have, like, a main bar area. And so the first thing that happens is that all of a sudden, it just kind of feels like there's somebody who all of a sudden is trying to walk exactly where I'm walking, which is interesting and weird because I usually have a pretty good understanding of how my body moves through time and space. So it was just weird. And I didn't touch her. I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Sorry about that. Let me get out of your way. There was no reaction from her really at all, but she was just like a beautiful young woman in kind of like a mini dress with a big coat over it and then kind of like crazy big boots on. And I was embarrassed, but I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I made her mad because she really didn't even acknowledge my apology or whatever. And so I was like, okay, whatever. So I get a glass of water. And then a little bit later, I am sitting down. There's like a booth section with my friend and we're talking, da 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 da. My friend and I are facing one another in this booth, so I see that same woman who I was walking in the same place as. She comes from behind his shoulders towards me, and I look up at her, and I smile, kind of like an embarrassed smile, to be like, oh, yeah, sorry, it's me again. But again, there's just, like, no reaction on her face, and then she walks behind me. And then he and I keep talking, and about 30 seconds later, once again, coming from behind him and walking towards me is the same woman. And I stop him and I'm just like, hey, this is weird, but like, is there a way that somebody could have just walked behind me, done a loop, and then gone around and walked from behind you towards me again. And he was like, oh my God, are you talking about the woman in the dress and the coat and those rave boots? And I was like, yes. And then he flips out and he stands up from the table because there aren't very many people there anymore. Like, the venue is about to shut down. He is like, wait, where did she go? Where did she go? Because he had a great view of the only way at that point in the night that you could exit anywhere. And he had seen her walk behind like a group of maybe three people and then just never reemerge from the other side and go out the exit. So it was really exciting that somebody else also witnessed this. And later when I asked him, I was like, wait, how did you know that that was the person that I was talking about? He was like, I've just had a weird feeling about her a couple different times tonight. Like, it doesn't seem like she belongs at this like rock and roll scene. And also just like, I think he was just like getting general interesting, like kind of out there vibes from this person as well. So I don't know, maybe that helps make sense of like why all of a sudden out of nowhere there was somebody who seemed to be walking in the exact same place that I already was walking. I'm not sure. I have not been able to stop thinking about it. I hope that you're doing great. Thanks for the show.
Big thanks, Hannah, for taking the time to share. Now, folks, next up from Season 21, Episode 6, is Arrow in California.
Hey, Derek. This is Arrow from San Diego. So one morning, I'm on my way to work. This is about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And where I work at, my employer, it's located on a busy street. So in order to make my drive to work a little bit more pleasant, I would get off an exit early. Now, getting off an exit early, you know, meant that I would come to my employer from the rear, but it also took me through a residential area. Now, this residential area is, you know, made up of homes, but also townhomes. So when I say townhomes, I mean like, you know, each structure had about 2 to 3 units in it, but, you know, they're double story. These townhomes, they're located like snug and flush with the sidewalk. So if you're on the sidewalk, you know, you're thinking maybe 10 feet from the sidewalk to the front door, maybe less. That includes stairs up to the door. And on the side of the townhomes, on structures that were located on a corner, the side of the buildings were pretty much flush with the sidewalk. You know, it was right on it. So, you know, on the front of the townhome and on the side of the townhome, there's not very much space. So I'm on my way to work one morning, started going through this residential area. Now, I'm coming up on this intersection, and I'm maybe about 40 yards away, coming in at about, you know, 20 miles an hour. Streets are kind of narrow. There's cars parked along the street on both sides. So as I'm coming up to this corner where these townhomes are, I notice to my left that there's a jogger, a gentleman who's running. So I make myself a mental note as I'm approaching, okay, there's a jogger, keep an eye out for this guy. I don't know where he's going to go. I don't know if he's going to cross in front of me, he's going to continue straight, or if he's going to make a left. So as I'm coming up on the intersection, there's a large full-size truck parked on the street. So as I'm approaching the intersection, the truck eventually comes between me and the runner. So it kind of eclipses the runner. I'm looking for this runner, again, wondering, is he going to cross in front of me? Where is he at? So I come up to the intersection, and he's nowhere to be seen. I'm waiting for him, like, where'd this guy go? I don't see him. Again, these townhomes are flush to the sidewalk. So looking to my left, I don't see him anywhere. There's nowhere he can hide. Looking to my right, you know, well, he's not to my right because I didn't see him cross in front of me. So I look up ahead, and he's about 50 yards ahead, jogging. And I'm like thinking, how did he get up there so fast? That was quick. So I was in the military. I played football. You know, in football, we run the 40. And, you know, in the military, we do a lot of jogging. This guy was like so far ahead, I had no idea how they got there so quickly. It's like they skipped from the moment I got to the truck and it eclipsed them to the moment I got to the intersection. I mean, we're talking about 5 seconds.
So as I, you know, pulled forward through the intersection and started catching up to the runner, I looked at him, I observed his clothing, and I verified, yeah, you know what, this is the guy I saw, you know, because he had red shorts and he had like a light blue tank top. I was like, this is the guy that I saw. So, you know, I passed him up, kind of, you know, wondering what could have happened. You know, I thought, well, could they have sprint? And, you know, by the time I got to the intersection, they were 40, 50 yards ahead of me. But, you know, I doubt that also because, like I said, you know, I played football. We used to do the 40-yard sprint. You know, I did a 40 in about 5.6 seconds. And I doubt this person, you know, made this sprint because when I pulled up, you know, they were just kind of at their regular jogging pace. You know, I didn't see them breathing hard or anything like that. So I call it the glitch in the matrix. You know, it wasn't a time slip because I didn't miss any time. Anyways, that's my story. Listened to the show for a long time. I'm a patron, part of the $4 club. So anyways, love the show. Thank you. You have a good night. All right, bye-bye.
Another big thanks to Arrow for sharing that entry. Now, folks, I have to take one more break, but I'll be right back with a Civil War time slip.
All I'm going to say is this. You also have...
Now, up next here this evening from Season 19, Episode 1, is Shelby from Parts Unknown.
Hey there, my name is Shelby, and the stories I'm about to tell you actually happened in Helena, Arkansas. If you look up Helena, Arkansas, you will find out it's right on the Mississippi River, and there was a Battle of Helena during the Civil War, and that is relevant to these stories. Helena actually has 4 different batteries, which means these were places where cannons were set up. One of my friends in high school actually lived by one of these batteries. They're called like battery parks. He lived behind Battery D. And I know when we were in high school, which has been well over 10 years, they actually found Confederate caskets back there. So anyways, yeah, big Confederate town. But this is actually one of my mom's coworker's story. Her coworker lived out in this big house in a field in Helena. And it's a married couple and a son. Her mother-in-law came over one day while she was at home, and she called Miss Tina, and she was like, hey, you rearranged everything. And she's like, what are you talking about? Like, I haven't rearranged furniture. And she's like, yeah, like everything is like shifted to a different place. It's like completely different than you had it this morning. And she was like, what do you mean? So anyways, she came home and the furniture was indeed in different places than where it was originally put. So they put all the furniture back, and that was the first time. So the second time, Tina herself actually came home, and when she opened the door, the living room, it was like a time slip. Everything was 19th century furniture. Like the entire place looked like it just came out of a Civil War era house. And it really freaked her out. So what do? You just freaking leave. Nobody else was home at the time, and she did. And when she came back home, everything was back to what it was. The last instance in this house, it was something that happened to her son. He was in the shower, and something kept poking at the shower curtain, you know, everybody's worst nightmare. And he thought that somebody was home and just messing with him. I actually think a few friends had been over prior, and that's why he thought it was someone he knew. Anyways, he finally just like pulled back the curtain. He was like, stop. And there was a Confederate soldier that was absolutely mangled, holding one of the Confederate swords, and the room was completely bloody. And he freaked out, somehow got the courage to leave the room. And when he got his mom, came back, and everything was fine. The last one is my story. I was in grade school, and I had a babysitter. This babysitter was 16. Her mom was like super duper religious. Like they didn't miss church at all. And I think that has a lot to do with this. So anyways, we're sitting on a couch one summer, and all of a sudden I see this man in a black cloak. It reminds me of like Calavar from Halloween Town. He comes from one side of a wall and rushes into another side of the wall. Like, you see the profile. He has a black cloak and there's a lot of black mist. And the girl that's babysitting, like, looks at me and she goes, "Did you see that?" And I was like, "Yeah." So I don't know if the girl's ever messed with a Ouija board or anything, just because everything was so uptight, you know, in that house. But anyway, to continue my Confederate soldier stuff, I have an uncle that used to be on the Memphis Fire Department. He had a piece of land about an hour and a half outside Memphis. I really don't recall where it was. I remember going there one summer. I was about 9 years old. And I just had the worst feelings there. Like, I did not like being there. I mean, I was a skittish child, but this was like, I felt heavy. I remember like my mom telling me like, "Oh, we should go back." And I was like, "No, let's not." But anyway, one of my uncle's coworkers, who was also a fireman, stayed up there to go hunting. It was also private hunting land, and my uncle had a stocked pond. Everything was pretty much going normal, and apparently one morning he woke up to the smell of smoke. He went outside and he's like, "What is going on?" It was apparently a very heavy smell, and he comes up and turns the corner. He looked to the right over near where the pond is. It's kind of elevated, and he said that he saw a man in, you know, full Confederate soldier attire with a pipe in his mouth and smoking that pipe. He could see him. It was almost like there was no transparency or anything. It was like a human was just standing right there. And he tipped his hat and waved to this fireman. And apparently this fireman was very big, very burly, not the type that you would think would scare very easily. And being a fireman, you see a lot of stuff too. But he got the hell out of there. He sure did. Funny enough, you know, smell of smoke and whatnot, that place did burn down eventually. I'm not sure what happened. It was not intentional. It was probably electrical, but yeah. Thanks for the podcast. Keep it up. Thanks.
That one got a lot of attention when it first ran. Another big thanks to Shelby for sharing. Now, while we're going back in time, let's welcome Kaylin from my boyhood home of Ohio in season 20, episode 24.
Hi, my name is Kaylin from Ohio, and I wanted to call in a story that happened to me back in the early 2000s, actually in Erie, PA. I've had a number of experiences in my life with ghosts, but this one is still pretty vivid in my mind. Our family friends had a band, and they would do shows at the Erie Playhouse pretty regularly. My parents were in the show one year, and they brought me along for rehearsals. So myself and the other kids of the band members would run around this theater and explore while all of these rehearsals were going on. And one day when we were exploring in the back rooms, there was a hallway with several old wooden doors. And they were the old doors with the skeleton key locks. And so you could look through the locks and see into the room. Well, we heard singing, like this angelic singing of girls. So we started looking through the locks of these doors to see where it was coming from, because that wasn't part of the show. It couldn't have been the people rehearsing. So when I looked through the lock of one of the doors, I saw something that I still question to this day, but again, it's so vivid in my mind that I know what I saw, and I'll stand by that. It was a classroom, like an old classroom, with wooden desks in rows. And there were girls sitting in the desks writing. And while they were writing, they were singing. And there was a woman walking through the rows too. But these girls were dressed like from the early 1900s, kind of Victorian style. The one girl, I remember so vividly, she had her hair half up. and she was in a white, lacy kind of frilly dress, and she had those dark lace-up boots on. They were all dressed like that, and the teacher was wearing a long dress too, the kind that has that collar that goes up to your neck. But there was a light coming in from a row of windows on the right side of the room, like sunlight shining on them so brightly that it looked like they were translucent. And I mean, they had to have heard us, but they didn't even look up, nothing. They just kept singing and doing their schoolwork. And anyway, one of the other kids I was with looked in too, and he saw them, but the rest of the kids were too scared to look. And I remember we all went running away down the hall. This was a theater, so I thought that maybe this was a show that they were rehearsing, but why would they be in a locked room singing like that with a teacher dressed like that going up and down the rows? And why did they look see-through? I mean, that's not normal when light hits you like that to look translucent. So I did some research on this theater recently, and I found out before it was the Erie Playhouse. It was called the Strand Theater, and it was originally built in 1915. It was demolished, and they built the Erie Playhouse. So it's just very interesting to me that that theater was built in 1915, and that's the kind of clothing these people or apparitions were wearing, or what the girls would have looked like back then. So I'm 35 now, and I can still see that girl sitting there in the desk like it was yesterday, just singing and working on her schoolwork, and I don't know. And again, I've seen ghosts when I was younger, and so I don't know. I'll stand by this, but that's my story, and I love the podcast. Take care.
Another big thanks to Caitlin for sharing that one. Now, folks, I have to take this last, final ad break. But when I come back, a phone call that people were talking about for months.
Hey, that guy's got something to him, man. He's right. Got something in his...
Overtime.
Yeah, I like his game, too.
Now, folks, this next one aired originally on Season 16, Episode 19, and comes to us from Riley, in parts unknown.
Hi, Derek. My name's Riley, and this happened to me when I lived in Maryland. I was probably around 9. A few years before that, my parents built a house in the very far back of this like brand new neighborhood. Okay, so we didn't have any neighbors for like a while, and we finally got some neighbors. And we lived on like 7 acres in the very far back of this neighborhood. So me and my dad had gone adventuring, you know, out on our property. We actually found this weird, like, little cabin thing. And it had all this political stuff from a governor that was running in, like, the 20s or something, like 1920s. So, yeah, it was like, that was weird. But anyways, my neighbor finally moved in, and they had girls that were, like, my age. And one day, me and my new neighbor friend, we decided to go explore our property. So we went back, and my backyard kind of backed up to this like hill that went downwards. And at the bottom, there's a stream. And then on the other side of the stream, it like goes back upwards. So like, it's like at the bottom of a gully, I guess. So we were following the stream, you know, did our exploring, whatever, gathered some rocks and some plants and stuff. And, okay, we decided to head back towards my house. So we followed the stream back, and we were about to come upon where my house should be. And when you're by the stream, you could look up and see where my house was. And it wasn't there. Like, unexplainably, my house just straight up was not where it should be. And I was like, what is going on? So we walk up the hill where my house should be, and there is nothing. But I can recognize the land that should be where my house is. Like, there were hills and stuff that I recognized, but like, my house wasn't there. And we were just perplexed. It was so weird. I can still, like, remember how it felt. It just felt like some sort of time slip or something. There were trees everywhere. Like, it wasn't cleared or anything like that. And it was just a bizarre feeling. So then we go back down the hill, like, to the stream, because we know that that's there. And we are just like, okay, let's walk a little bit farther, maybe. I don't know. And so, yeah, we walked a little bit farther. Still can't see my house. Still cannot find it. And so we start to kind of panic. So we are like, okay, maybe somehow, some way, we're supposed to walk up the other side. Like, we're supposed to cross this little stream. It's very small. So, like, jump across the stream and go up the other side of the hill. Maybe somehow, some way, that will be right. So we did that. We walked up the other side of the stream. And this is where it gets even weirder. We walk up the hill and we enter into another neighborhood, but somehow it's different. It feels different. It looks different. The sun is brighter. It wasn't like an overcast day or anything, but the lighting was somehow different. And this sounds so weird, but it was like a quintessential, like, 1950s neighborhood. Those big, gigantic 1950s cars. People were, like, push mowing their lawns in, like, a polo type of shirt, like a collared shirt, waving at people. There were women in dresses. I remember specifically one was, like, walking, pushing their baby in a baby carriage, like a pram type of thing. And they had those 1950s dresses on, and there were just a lot of people out and about, like, talking to each other, waving to each other. And it was so weird. So we kind of, like, ran back down the hill because we were kind of, like, coming up into someone's, like, backyard or their side yard. And there was, like, a road that, I guess, went around this neighborhood or whatever. So we ran back down the hill and we were like, what is going on? Something is really, really off. Something feels weird. And we just felt it. It was very palpable. I said the sky was brighter. It felt like the air was somehow different, like electrified a little bit. Something was off. So we ran back down the hill back to the stream and we said, okay, let's try it again. Let's just go up this side because we know that there are people there. And I don't know. We didn't really know what else to do because I was like, I'm not living in these woods forever. So anyway, we ran up the hill again and we were in the same spot. And this time it was completely different. The electricity in the air went away. The light went back to normal and it was just normal houses. But it was still recognizable as what we saw just moments before. But there was no one out doing anything. It just felt normal. And we went up to a house and we knocked on the door and it was this older woman, this, like, kind of grandma-ish type of woman. And we just kind of explained, like, hi, we were just exploring and we got lost and we were wondering if we could use your phone. And she thankfully allowed us to use her phone and we called my mom. She came and got us. And I told my mom this story later that night, like after we had dropped my neighbor friend off at her house. And my mom, she just kind of nodded. And my mom's like really into paranormal stuff and everything. And we didn't really go into it then, but recently she just started talking to me about it. And she says that I definitely experienced some sort of time slip and that we lived on like an Indian burial ground, basically. So that's great. But yeah, just wanted to call in and thanks so much for all that you do. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thank you again, Riley, for sharing. And folks, that brings us to tonight's final entry from Season 10, Episode 8, one that many of you talked about for years. From the state of Missouri, please welcome Ray to the show.
Hey, Derek, this is Ray from Missouri. I've had something happen to me several times throughout my life, and I think it may explain actually a lot of the paranormal activity we've got. Every so often, I suffer what I call shifts. Now, what this means is that I think what's going on is I think I move into a parallel dimension, parallel universe, where things are very similar to like they are here on Earth, but slightly altered. I'll give you an example, probably the most dramatic one. I live in Southwest Missouri. Several years back, I was teaching at a local community college, which is a fairly good drive for me. That way, one night I was driving back from there, and whenever these shifts happen, it's kind of a weird sensation, like you're sitting in a chair and someone walks up and kicks the side of the chair without you knowing they're there. Kind of a hard jerk to the side feeling. Anyway, so I was driving down the highway at night, and I felt this, and suddenly the road surface changed. Before, it was a typical country asphalt secondary highway. Now the road surface was solid black. There was no stripe in the middle, but there was a defined hump right in the middle of the road between the two lanes. And it had a more reflective coating put on. The rest of the road was just absolutely matte black. No reflection of the light at all. But the edges of the road and the center ridge had a highly reflective coating put on it. Is about the only way I can describe it. And it was done in the same way that our current road system's done, in that if it was a broken line, it was a passing area and there was no hump. But if it was an area that where no passing was allowed, then there was a raised hump and it was solid. Yeah, you know, at first I thought, well, okay, something's going on, or maybe they're trying on a new road system, maybe something's going on. But the thing is, I'd driven that same road just a few hours before, and this black surface hadn't been there. There's this gas station about halfway between my home and the college, where I always stop off and, you know, either get a cup of coffee or usually a soda type of thing. I pull in, go in and get my soda, everything's normal. But as I come walking out, there's a guy standing there and he's looking at my car. I come walking up, hey, how you doing? He's going, fine. He says, that's a beautiful car. He said, what type of car is it? I said, well, it's a Plymouth Solstice. You know, you may be familiar with the Plymouth Solstice convertibles. And he says, Plymouth? I said, yeah. Is that a foreign made? Is that European or something? I said, no, it's a Plymouth. It's American made. And he gives me this kind of odd look. He said, really? Do they still build them? I said, well, yeah. I said, they don't build the Plymouth Solstice anymore, but they do build Plymouth. And he's like, well, okay, whatever. And he turns around and starts to get into his car. And I'd seen the car as I walked out. And I thought it was like a 2010 Chrysler 300 is what it looked like. But now I could see the front of it. And it was different. The biggest major difference in it was that besides the two regular headlights, there was a single headlight in the middle of the grill. And instead of the Chrysler symbol, there was this odd kind of a T-shape, almost like the Tesla symbol. That's what it looked like. But it was a stylized T-shape on the hood. And I looked at it and said, oh, excuse me. I said, that's a beautiful car. What is it? And he looked at it and said, well, it's a Tucker 300. I said, you mean it's a Chrysler 300? And he's looking at me like, what? You know, it was almost like we couldn't understand each other in a way. He said, no, man. He said, this is a Tucker 300. Haven't you ever seen a Tucker 300 before? And he shakes his head and gets in his car. And when he turned it on, all three headlights come on. And I noticed that as he turned the steering wheel, the center headlight tracked the front wheels. And he pulls out of the lot and drives off. I'm sitting there just going, okay, now this is just getting weirder and weirder. So I get back in my car, drove away from the gas station after he had left, and I drove a little ways, and also the road surface changed. Yeah, I felt a thump, and the road surface changed again. I was back on normal type asphalt. And I thought, now that's just too weird. So at the next driveway, I turned the car around, went back, and I couldn't find the road surface. The black road surface was gone. It was back to being just normal asphalt. So what I think happened is I think I shifted into a parallel universe, very similar to our Earth, but with just slight differences. That was probably the most dramatic shift I've ever had happen. But I think it's happened several times in my life, usually just not so dramatically. Thing is, this would explain a lot of our both cryptids and a lot of the paranormal activity, if there actually is bleed over from other parallel universes. Maybe you're mirrored men or that. Maybe you're actually seeing mirrored images and several dimensions of the same person. Bigfoot comes to mind. I mean, the reason people haven't found a Bigfoot body or been able to capture one. What if they can move from their dimension to our dimension at will? You know, they come over here, do a little bit of hunting or exploring or whatever, and they see people there, they just shift back. Anyway, just some thoughts. Love the show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Ray, for that memorable submission. Now, I had dozens of responses from you guys after I first played Ray's call. Many of you explaining that the Tucker 300 was a known vehicle with a headlight in the center of the car. But does that explain Ray's strange experience? Or does the mystery continue? Well, I can tell you that the mystery of time slips continues. But I had a lot of fun putting this episode together. So a big thanks to you for tuning in here tonight. Another big thanks to each of tonight's callers. And a big thanks to Connor Ryan for editing this episode. The Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. And be sure to like us on our social media pages, like us on YouTube, Discord, and leave us a rate and review if you can do such a thing. Don't forget you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Unexplained Digital Network. Just visit unexnetwork.com to tune in. Now finally here this evening, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Check out our Beyond. Go to monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. Listen to Monsters Among Us Jr. wherever you get your podcasts. And go to BorregoTriangle.com to learn how you can watch my documentary. Now, folks, I'll be back here on Tuesday with a brand new installment. There'll be no new Beyond tonight. But everything goes back to normal next week. I promise. But until then, you keep it spooky. And have yourselves a great night.